The freedom of God's sovereignty. This is a teaching that Holy Spirit wants to offer us so that we can understand the dynamic between our will and God's sovereignty. In general, in Christianity, there's two major schools of thought. One is that everything that happens is God's will, or he allows. And the other school of thought is that we make choices and those choices determine what occurs. Neither one of them encompass the fullness of the truth about God's sovereignty and how it interacts with our will. Sometimes we might have been praying for something for a great deal of time. I've recently was assisting someone who was having a difficulty in a relationship, a major difficulty. And they felt that because there had been so many hurdles in the past, they had stood, but it had constantly not turned out as they had expected, that they felt that they had failed in their faith. But we cannot have faith failures or failures in faith, because even when we get it wrong, he makes good on it. The one always covering us, the one who works all things together for our good, those of us that love him and are the called according to his purpose, is the same one that will turn everything around. Even our weakness, even our foolish mistakes, he will use it to carve us into the people of God that he is desiring to represent him in this world. This is not to debate the fact that God is God and we are not. He says that he will do as he pleases. We can't control him. We can't strong arm him. We can discuss with him. We can even argue, as we saw Moses did. We can be enticed at times by wrong doctrine, wrong thinking, wrong people. But that does not mean we are left shipwrecked and alone unless we continue to pursue it. And then we know there's a possibility of our faith being shipwrecked because we don't have faith in him anymore. We're having faith in ourselves. That is what it really boils down to. Do we believe he really is the one that makes all things work together for the good of those who love him and are the called according to his purpose, as it says in Romans 8:28? Do we believe it? Do we believe that he's on our side? Says in Psalm 118:6, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" We also know, as it says in his word, if God is for us, who can be against us? So it isn't a question of being strong on our own. It isn't a question of getting it right every time. It isn't a question of never making a mistake. It's a question of having faith in the one that cannot make mistakes and that can take our mistakes and turn them around into his glory. Let's go to Romans 8:26. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses." His very Spirit helps in our weaknesses. The Holy Spirit doesn't expect us to never be weak. It says, likewise, the Spirit, capital S, also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Some people often assume that those groanings are always speaking in tongues. I've heard people interpret it as that. Groanings which cannot be uttered. That means you can't hear them. The Spirit, Holy Spirit Himself, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He is interceding when we get things wrong, when we're too weak to overcome, when we don't know what to do next, when everything has fallen around us like rubble. He's interceding. The very Spirit of God Almighty. And then the next verse, 27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. That's the lead up to that scripture, to that truth. The Holy Spirit working on our behalf according to the will of God, for he is God. Let's go to Psalm 116, 7. It says, "Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." What a wonderful image. God dealing bountifully with us. But do we believe it? So often we believe we are in charge and everything is up to us. But Lone Ranger Christianity will always result in despair. For without Christ, there is no hope. And without being led by His Spirit, there is no true direction, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. We can go our own way. We all know it. We've all done it. Let's stop pretending that every step we make is righteous. We may desire that, but we can fail. And this is the beauty of what God is saying about His sovereignty. We can fail, but He can't. He picks us up when we fall. So this is the crux of the matter. It's not, is God good enough or loves us enough or powerful enough? But the question is He for us? If we are His, we are told nothing can separate us from His love. Nothing. 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 And if nothing can separate us from His love, our being His children, then does it not make sense that He would do what is ever necessary to keep us on a right path? Even using the worst of our mistakes, turning them into something we never thought was possible. If we are His and we abide, which means remain in Him, as Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then we are guaranteed liberty, wholeness, protection, and His good. The problem is sometimes, is His good, what He says is good, and our perception of good the same? We may have a desire or even a demand, but is it His will? This is where sovereignty brings freedom. But we have in mind our sovereignty, our conditions, our way, our will. And when things don't pan out, we assume we have gotten it all wrong or that God doesn't care. But how can that be when he says he orders our steps? In Psalm 16:9, it says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." So we aren't in this alone, hoping against hope we will get it right. Or the opposite of that, thinking everything we do is right because of the grace of God. No, we make mistakes. No, we get it wrong. The glory, the wonder, the grace is that although we plan it, he orders our steps. God's sovereignty does not mean we are without a will. It simply means if we are truly his, we desire to actually live for him. And as we do that, our will and his will at last will merge and be the same. That is when we will know the freedom of his sovereignty. Let's go to Psalm 37, 23 and 24. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." This is God's assurance. We are not on our own. And how can we be? We who are co-joined with the Father through the Son are one spirit with him. It's not my will versus God's will. It's our will. He wants our will to be hewn, carved out. If he has to, sometimes he'll hammer it. He'll chisel it. But he does it out of love. He does it because he sees the mistake, just like we would do with our own children. We see a mistake they've made, and we don't pretend they haven't made it. But are we there for them? Will we help them in any way possible? Of course we will. And God's help far exceeds any help we can give as parents. I have seen him personally and in the lives of others take what looked so impossibly ruined, what looked like there was no chance ever again. And even if the circumstance or relationship or issue was never repaired, so to speak, in the way that we expect it to be repaired, but he took it and he made from it something that could never have been made if it hadn't occurred, if the mistake hadn't occurred. That's the glory of God. Not that he's expecting and hoping we make mistakes, but when we do, we can be assured he will take those mistakes and he will turn them into gems. Not because we flippantly are sinning or walking unrighteously or going our own way, but because we fell. We were walking. We believed this was the right way. We had made these plans and we fell. And his mercy endures forever. Is it not a better question to ask, instead of why is it turning out so badly, to this: how can I have my will and his will be the same? As Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, let's go to Luke 22:42, even starting at 41. "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. When we yield our wills to him, they become his will. And as we see from how Jesus demonstrated our ultimate model and example, whom we are to imitate, we're not to imitate our flesh or man or demons, we're to imitate Christ. When that occurs, when our will and his will are one, we will know the freedom of God's sovereignty. We'll stop fighting it, stop denigrating it, stop denying it, because his sovereign will is the greatest optimum possibility for our lives. This is God's sovereign will. In Romans 8:32, he, the Father, who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That is the sovereign will of God, to give us all things. And we are not talking about treasures on earth. We are talking about the magnificence of being one with the only true God. The only thing that has any value in this life or the life coming. So let us not live our lives as if his sovereignty, his will, is bad medicine, or it's good for us, but we have to take it, but it's a bitter pill to swallow. Let's yield to his will and find out that the Lord is good. He tastes sweeter than honey. He is the God of all creation. He watches our back, is our rear guard. He orders the steps before us. He inclines his ear to us. He indwells us and makes us his temple. This is the God whose will we want to yield to. And this is the God whom we can trust with our worst mistakes and our greatest triumphs. And this is the God who makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And when we read that verse in Romans 8:27, if we allow it to be opened up to us in revelation by his Spirit, we will have such a deep understanding of the will of God, the sovereignty of God. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The intercession by the Spirit for the saints will produce the will of God in our lives, even above and beyond our mistakes. That is the glory of God. Let us then speak and believe his faith-filled words, not as a technique or manipulation of word of faith or any other man-made doctrine, but as a declaration of our faith in him, because if our faith in him is steadfast, we will not be afraid of his sovereignty. We will not run from it or deny it or rebel against it. We will know it is for us, for our best, because of the love of God.